You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a note on our programming plans today. The Senate impeachment trial of President Trump resumes at noon, with the trial entering a new phase as senators are allotted time to ask questions. You can hear live NPR coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio's News and Classical Network and online at WPR.org. Here on the Ideas Network, we'll keep you informed of the latest and we'll invite you into the conversation. So right now, we're inside the world of semi-pro women's tackle football. Teams and leagues have been around for decades, but the sport is in a growth spurt. The league called the Women's Football Alliance includes the Midwest Mountain Lions, which is based in southeastern Wisconsin and northeastern Illinois. And this spring, they play five teams around the Midwest. Do you have a daughter interested in football? Are you trying to field a team? What do you want to know about women's tackle football? We're at 800-642-1234. Mary Ellen Six is a receiver, defensive back, and kicker for the Midwest Mountain Lions. Mary Ellen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Great. Thanks for having us.
And Snoopy Schuster is head coach of the Midwest Mountain Lions, and they're joining us from our Milwaukee studios this morning. Snoopy, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Well, Snoopy, let's start with you. The Midwest Mountain Lions are a new team for Wisconsin, but this isn't the first time a professional women's football team has existed here. What is the history, the evolution of women's tackle football here in Wisconsin?
Well, we've had quite a few teams. We've had the Wisconsin Warriors, the Madison Blaze, the Wisconsin Wolves, the Milwaukee Momentum, the Chicago Force down in Illinois. We had the Kenosha Ice, which was a championship team. They won the championship, I think, in 2003. Sorry, I was looking to Six for help with that one. So, yeah, there's been a very rich history. We actually had a team called the Lake Michigan Meeks that was up in Green Bay area back in the late 60s.
Well, if nothing else, preserve these names somewhere. They're amazing. So how did your team, the Midwest Mountain Lions, evolve?
Well, the team that was previously operating in the same area, their owners, they decided that they were going to move to Minnesota, and we wish them the best. They got their dream job, and who can blame them for going? But then that left the vacuum. The Madison Blaze, which had been operating the year before, had folded. And so we just simply did not want it to die in this area. We've got a lot of women who really want to play, and we feel that women really deserve to play.
Mary Ellen, when you are talking with women about tackle football, what do you say about it, and is there interest?
Yeah, I think for women wanting to play, one of the biggest questions is, you know, well, I have no experience playing football, or I don't know how to play, or all the rules. And I would say to them, you know, we'll teach you everything. That's pretty common. Most people on our team haven't played football before. They've maybe played other sports, but as long as you're athletic and willing to learn, you can do it.
What has recruitment been like for you, Mary Ellen?
So it can be difficult to convince women who, you know, have full-time jobs and maybe kids to, you know, dedicate a chunk of their time to this. But we do our best to, you know, get the word out and show people how fun it is.
Snoopy, I understand you have 26 players right now. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
How does that size compare to other professional football teams?
If you mean the NFL, obviously we are way undersized for that. If you mean other teams in the league, we actually have a tier system. We actually use the same system as the NCAA. So we are considered a D3 team because we are so small. The D1 teams will have a roster of, you know, 60 to 80 players, but only 45 players are allowed to dress for that day.
And so when you have a smaller roster, you're needing your players to play different positions, I would assume, to be very multitasking.
Yes, as you could tell by the title introduction that you gave for Mary Ellen, which, you know, kicker. She's kicker, punter, receiver, D-back, you know, so obviously they have lots of play things. We always tell our players, too, that even if your primary position is, let's say, D-line, D-tackle, we want you to learn everything you can. Know the entire sport. Know what the person next to you is doing. Know what the person behind you is doing. Know what the person on the opposite side of the line is doing.
So being able to try out those different positions as well and, you know, play those positions, you may end up with a more well-rounded player.
Oh, amen. Yes, I started myself when I started with the Chicago Forest back years ago, they originally put me as a D-back. And then the next thing you know, I ended up at defensive end. And then in 2006, I actually went to the Pro Bowl as a defensive end.
Wow. What was that like going to the Pro Bowl?
Oh, my goodness. I was so thrilled. It was so exciting. I'm absolutely effusive now. You cannot see my hands, but I'm shaking them about.
So, where was it? Who did you play?
Well, for the Pro Bowl, obviously you play all the different players from all the different teams that have made the Pro Bowl. My claim to fame is that I blocked and was successfully getting off the blocks of the league MVP. And I was just so excited about that. That's my big claim.
Certainly, running a football team comes with a lot of costs. How are you able to pay for the equipment to suit up your players?
Well, part of it, a lot of it comes out of our pockets. It really does. But we do have a team fee, and we do call it a team fee. It's you're paying to be part of a team. You're not paying to play, because if you're not talented enough and you're not capable enough, and I don't believe you're going to be safe enough out on the field, then you're not going to be playing much. But the team fee goes to pay for, you know, rental of practice fields and game fields and game equipment, announcers. There is so much money that is going out for us. We do try to get in sponsors. The league does have sponsors such as Glacier Clinics. Oh, my goodness. I love Glacier Clinics. They have been supportive of women's football way before they actually became an official team sponsor. But, yeah, we are always looking for local sponsors, always looking for people that will come in and help us out.
We're talking with Snoopy Schuster and Mary Ellen Six. They're co-owners of the Midwest Mountain Lions. That's a semi-pro women's tackle football team from Wisconsin and Illinois. Mary Ellen is a receiver, defensive back, and kicker, and Snoopy is head coach. Mary Ellen, how did you get into tackle football?
So I have always loved football since I was a kid, but there was no outlet for me to play. I played lots of other sports growing up. But as an adult, I actually was looking for a rec soccer team to play on and just happened across an ad for, the team in the area and haven't looked back since.
Yeah, what hooked you? What do you love about it?
I just love the sport. I mean, I love, it's an outlet to be, you're hitting people and you're aggressive and it's in this controlled environment and it's just, it's a rush.
But you're also hitting women. What is that like?
It's an adjustment at first because, of course, you're doing things that in polite society you would never do otherwise. So you do need to get used to it. But, it's amazing because it's a rush.
What position do you like best? Because you play a number of them.
Probably receiver has been the most fun for me.
If your team is practicing about once a week, is that right?
No, ma'am, twice.
Twice a week. How do you skill build? Because there's also a lot of training that I would assume that goes around football, not just on the field, but off the field as well, to build muscle and capacity and endurance. Mary Ellen, what is that like?
Yeah, so we encourage our players to do a lot of that, work in the gym outside of our practices, because you're right, within our practice time, there's a lot of, football skills and things we need to do as a team. So we're really having to spend time outside of that to work on our physical conditioning.
Do you feel like your physical conditioning, it makes a difference on the field when you dedicate that time to doing other types of workouts?
Absolutely. I think, the more in shape you are, the stronger you are, the more safe you are on the field.
Snoopy, what do practices look like, especially for people who've never played before?
Well, early on in the season, like we are right now where it's preseason, the beginning practices are all about the basics. I want to make sure as head coach you're going to be safe when you hit the field. So I make sure that you know how to hit. I know how that you can take a hit. We put a series of pads on the floor and you literally just stand there and then we hit you and you fall down. And I make sure you fall down in a way that, keeps you safe. We have pads that we have you run through and I make sure that you're hitting with your shoulder, you're not leading with your head, that you are using good, proper form, in order to do these things.
Do women ever say, you know what, I can't do this? Or do you find that they stick with it and they just want more, Snoopy?
Oftentimes it's like it's a rush. They come in and, you know, there's often an emotional component like you talked about earlier, that very first I have to hit someone and, oh, my goodness, I'm hitting someone. Oh, my goodness, somebody's hitting me. But that then soon rolls into, oh, my goodness, I get to hit someone and, oh, my goodness, someone's hitting me. You know, it is such a rush and it's excitement. And, you know, to fly around on the field and to do stuff that you're normally not allowed to do, we like to call it, it's legalized violence.
Mary Ellen, you have teammates traveling from around Wisconsin and Illinois. What is that commuting like to get these players on the field?
Yeah, there are quite a few players who have, you know, a journey of maybe 1 to 2 hours to get to practice. But I think it is, you know, like Snoopy said, once you come, a lot of people are just hooked because it is such
adrenaline.
It's such an adrenaline rush. It's just such a fun thing that, you know, people are willing to do it.
And so I would assume there's some carpooling going on?
Yeah, there is definitely some carpooling going on to get to practice.
We are inside the world of women's semi-pro full contact football. Snoopy Schuster, head coach of the Midwest Mountain Lions. Mary Ellen Six, a receiver, defensive back, and kicker for the team. Are you a female athlete who plays in a mostly male-dominated sport? What sport do you play? How do you motivate yourself? Does watching professional female athletes inspire you? Join in with your story, your questions, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment, more on the Midwest Mountain Lions with Mary Ellen Six and Snoopy Schuster right here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're learning about women's semi-pro full contact tackle football. The Midwest Mountain Lions practice in Sturtevant. Their season this spring will take them to games around the Midwest. Meanwhile, the San Francisco 49ers offensive assistant Katie Sowers played tackle football, and on Sunday, she'll become the first female member of an NFL staff to coach in a Super Bowl. Here she is on the NFL Network.
Being the first, it is historic. I mean, there always has to be a first to make change, but the most important thing that I continue to say is just to make sure I'm not the last.
Has Katie Sowers inspired you? Has she changed your views on the NFL? How should the NFL approach bringing more women to the sport? We're at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Mary Ellen Six is a receiver, defensive back, and kicker for the Midwest Mountain Lions. Snoopy Schuster is head coach, and they stay with us from our Milwaukee studios. Mary Ellen, I understand you've played against Katie Sowers during her days as a professional football player. What was that like?
I did, yeah. I played against both Katie and her twin sister, Liz. And I can tell you, I remember leading up to that game that the game plan very much revolved around how to stop the Sowers sisters.
And what were they like on the field? What were their abilities?
They're both incredible athletes. They're great to play against, too, because they're both great people. So it was exciting and challenging.
Snoopy, how are the reffing and rules adjusted in any way for the women's tackle semi-pro sport versus what you see in men's football?
No, we use NCAA rules. So the same rules that apply to college football apply to us. The only difference we have is we instituted this year was we outlawed cut blocking.
And what does that mean?
Cut blocking is when you initiate contact below the waist. Unlike men's teams who have millions of dollars behind them and millions in their pocket, you know, we have to go home at the end of the day. We have to go back to our jobs, our children, our lives. So we are trying to be a little bit safer, so we do not allow that initiation below the knees or below the waist in order to protect our knees.
Are the refs female as well?
I don't think I've been in a game personally that's had a female ref, but I'm sure they're out there because we are everywhere.
I want to get your perspective, Snoopy, because gender barriers, something we're talking about a lot, not just on the sports field, but in many industries as well. What do you want people to understand or take away from as we see Katie Sowers and what women are doing in the NFL?
Well, the NFL does not have diversity quotas. The Rooney Rule initiated in 23 simply said that you have to interview a minority before hiring a position, and you only have to interview one minority. So anytime you see a woman or an African-American, a Hispanic-American, or anybody like that, we earned that job. We got there because we deserved it. And that applies, you know, like Lori Locust is a D-line coach in the NFL, you know, and you think of D-linemen, you think these huge monster men, and yet, you know, she's my personal hero in the NFL as far as coaches go. When we are there, we deserve it. We earned it. We got there because we deserve it. I mean, I'm starting to babble. I apologize. But the reason Katie Sowers is getting attention, and she deserves the attention, is because of the team she's on. But there's 10 women coaching in the NFL right now.
Where are they? What are their jobs? What is it like for them?
They are scattered throughout. Tampa Bay actually has two women on their staff. Again, Lori Locust, who is my personal hero. She coaches the D-line. But there are women throughout. The first woman that was hired in 2015 by the Arizona Cardinals. She was hired as an intern. The first full-time coach was in 2016 for the Buffalo Bills. She was a special teams coach. You know, so we are everywhere, and we encompass different positions in different, you know, parts of the field. You know, you think D-line, you know, Katie Sowers coaches, you know, the offensive coordinator position, but she mainly coaches the wide receivers. You know, people think little. They think women can, you know, little, but we also coach the bigs. We coach across the entire spectrum.
We're talking with Snoopy Schuster, head coach of the Midwest Mountain Lions. It's a newly formed semi-pro women's football team based in Wisconsin. Mary Ellen Six co-owns the team, plays as a receiver, defensive back, and kicker. Still time for your questions, 800-642-1234. Let's talk about concussions for a moment. The NFL announced that there were 214 diagnosed concussions in 2018. Snoopy, how are you accounting for that, and what do you make of that?
Full disclosure, I have TBI in my frontal temporal lobe from concussions. So I am absolutely adamant about safety. I teach the same foot, same shoulder technique, and until you master that technique and until you can go out there and protect yourself, protect your head, I'm not going to let you on the field. This can disrupt some people because they really want to get out there and they really want to hit and play. But if you can't do it safely, you can't do it.
What happened in your concussion? How did you get it?
Oh, I had multiple concussions, and I did the typical thing where you get the concussion and you really, really want to play, so you fib about your symptoms and you fib about your thing. And back when I got my first concussion, which is 2006, my head coach encouraged me to come back. My head coach encouraged me to play. And so I did. I actually got concussed every single game that season, and then I continued to play. And eventually, I was on another team, and I was playing on that team, and my teammates refused to take the field with me anymore because they knew it was unsafe for me. And I call this thing concussion brain. It's a lot like being inebriated in that you think you can do things that you should not do. And so you get this concussion brain, and you think you can play. You think you can do it, you know, but your teammates, your coaches, your family, your staff, you know, on the team has to be the one to take control of it then and tell you no.
Let's take a call now. Laura in Manitowoc. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm listening to these ladies and I'm feeling inspired and I'm thinking it's great that they're going out and kind of, you know, bucking tradition and, you know, doing what they're doing. And I'm even thinking so far as, you know, gosh, I want to be a part of this, not as a player, but I realized that it would probably be in a volunteer capacity and I'd really like to work hard and further this effort until your guest started talking about how this is legalized violence, which I've always felt football really is. And, you know, no matter how you dress it up or, you know, what you call it, violence just, it's not a good thing. And I think this does really further and condone that. And I don't see how people can support this. So it's really deflated my enthusiasm after hearing that. And I'd like to like football, but this just really validates what I discussed with the whole sport.
Laura, thank you so much for sharing those comments and what is on your mind. Mary Ellen, would you like to field that?
Sure. I mean, you know, football is not a sport for everyone. If, you know, you're uncomfortable with that sort of contact, hitting someone, getting hit, you know, the sport may just not be for you, and that's okay. It does take a particular mindset to play the sport and to enjoy it.
Mary Ellen, as a player, of course, you wear plenty of pads and helmet, but this equipment has long been made to fit a male body types. Have you or other players struggled to find equipment that is safe and works for women's bodies?
Yeah, I would say the biggest problem is usually shoulder pads that are made for men. Our bodies, our upper bodies are very different. So a lot of women do have trouble. There was a manufacturer for a while making shoulder pads designed for women. So sometimes we're able to get those, but it can be an issue.
Snoopy, I wanted to get you in here as well on Laura's comment about the violence. What would you tell her?
Well, it is violence. I'm not going to, you know, obviously I'm the one who said it, but it's also done in a safe way. It's done in a way that, you know, you get up at the end of it and you walk away. You know, you can take the frustrations of your kids or your boss or what's going on, and you can get this out in a way that you can hit and be hit, and it will give you the adrenaline, it will give you the joy, you know. So it's not violence in a negative way, it's violence in a positive way, if you can make that adjustment mentally.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you, Snoopy, for joining us, and Mary Ellen Six, thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Mary Ellen Six and her wife Snoopy Schuster co-own the Midwest Mountain Lions. They're a professional women's football team based in Wisconsin. Mary Ellen, receiver, defensive back, and kicker on the team. Snoopy, head coach. And they joined us from our Milwaukee studios. Check out our slideshow, by the way, on the morning show page at WPR.org. Just ahead, we discuss the history of pronouns and their influence on our culture. An author shares 40 years of research through his new book called What's Your Pronoun? I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.